right, guys, welcome to a brand new episode of SideQuest Podcast. Listen in and level up. I have a great episode for you today, but first, as always, let's get through the show notes. If you're not following the Facebook page, head over to Facebook, type SideQuest Fitness into the search bar, and like the page. There, you're going to get updates on podcast episodes, articles when they get posted, and you're going to get a brand new taco recipe every Tuesday for Taco Camp. Plus lots of other shenanigans and nerd talk throughout the week, so make sure you head over to Facebook. You can follow me on Instagram. My handle is SideQuestFM. If you want to see some cool videos and random stuff on Instagram as well, you can follow me on Instagram. Same handle, SideQuestFM. Or follow me on Snapchat, SideQuestFit. Follow me there. Send me your questions. I want to get all the questions from you, help you as much as I can on your fitness journey or your journey in life, whatever it may be. But head over to Snapchat, SideQuestFit, follow me there. You get a little more personal, in-depth look at the shenanigans I get into throughout every day. But I do love getting questions from the community, so please send them out to me. If you have not left a review for the podcast, please head over to iTunes. If you're not listening on iTunes and you listen on SoundCloud or Stitcher, leave a review there as well. When you leave reviews, it helps me move up the charts on the iTunes store so that more people can see and hear the amazing guests that I've had on and have on each and every single week. So make sure you head over there. And don't forget, if you haven't picked up your copy of the 7 Principles of Fat Loss, head over to sidequestfitness.com/7principles and you can pick up your copy of the 7 Principles of Fat Loss. These are the same 7 principles I follow each and every day and teach my clients to help them shred away more body fat, unlock heroic strength, and just look better naked. So if you want to unlock strength or just look better naked in the mirror, head over again, grab those 7 principles of fat loss, and start following those today. All right, guys, welcome to the show. It is the first Thursday of the month, February 2nd. And that means first Thursday of the month, you get community questions, an episode that I devote to answering questions that come from you, listeners of SideQuest Podcast. Now you might be asking, Robbie, how do I get my question? The burning question I've been wanting to know on the next episode of Community Questions. Simple. You can tweet them to me. My Twitter handle, SideQuestFM, or you can email me, sidequestfitness@gmail.com. If you are on the email list, I ask every single Friday for questions. Hit reply. If you're on that list, guys, hit reply. If you're not on that list, send me a tweet, SideQuestFM, and I will send you a link to get the 7 Principles of Fat Loss, and that will get you on my list as well. That way, every Friday, I send out the Friday High Five, go over cool nerd stuff for the week, awesome news, what I've been reading, what I've written, what I'm looking forward to, just talk about whatever, and I always pose a question, what can I do to help you? So in that, when I get a lot of questions, ones that I really think a lot of people want to know that aren't individual, I'll pull those in for community questions, and that's where some of these came from this month as well. So if you want to hear your question, it doesn't have to be fitness related. You can ask me about my favorite video game. You can ask me what I think about virtual reality. I don't care, doesn't matter, or what I think about Resident Evil 7, which hopefully I've played by the time March comes around. Let me know. I'll answer it in the community questions. This is about you guys. This is where I give back to you. Answer your questions. I'm here to help you on your quest to be the most awesome version of yourself. So whatever the question is, hit me up, sidequestfitness@gmail.com, and I'll get that answered in the March edition of Community Questions. Without further ado, let's get in. I have 3 great questions to cover today. One on using images for inspiration, when you should weigh yourself, and why in an email earlier I mentioned taking a stand and something about 30 grams of protein. Why is 30 grams of protein early in the morning a really good idea? So let's get into the show. Step up and you gotta get it fitness. Host Rob at the moment and the quest is, you gotta check it and wreck it. You're breaking personal records, and with the help of the guests, you won't be guessing on the lessons. That's a +5 fierce. Got a low-key Banff right here. You wanna meet him, there's no better way to greet him than to strike a boss pose. Take a look into the mirror. Community Questions is by far my favorite episode to record, and I have 3, as I said in the intro, fantastic questions. The first one, I'm going to line them up, and not really in order of importance, but I'm going to go there. Just in how I'm feeling, how I'm grooving as I'm recording this episode. One of the first questions I got was from my boy, Chris Evans. Oh my God. Yes. I got a question from Captain America. He wanted to know, what I think his 4th of July celebration should be this year and what party, what he should have the party. No, I'm kidding. No, but, a fan and listener, and follower on Twitter, Christopher Evans. I'm always forever going to call him Cap. That's how I refer to him on Twitter. But he actually sent me question 1 and 3, but question 1 came early in the month. And he asked, if weight loss is the primary objective, how often should you weigh yourself? The scale is a dirty, 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 dirty liar. Dirty liar. If you're a woman right now, first and foremost, if you're listening to this, know that the scale, you got like 10 days really in the month where like the scale can kind of give you an accurate representation. For women specifically, right before their period and during their period, their weight can fluctuate anywhere from 5 to 10 pounds or more. Most of that is just hormones that are holding on to water weight, etc. But so don't, if you know you're about to be on your period, don't weigh yourself. Just don't do it. Don't do it. You know better. Like you girls, you've known this for years. My wife complains about it all the time. She's like, I don't know why I did that. Like, don't get on the scale. Guys in particular, and everyone in general, here's the best thing that I say about the scale. I tell my clients, we only weigh ourselves every 6 weeks. Why 6 weeks? Well, you can see weight loss in the first week. You can see water weight come off. You can see a little fat come off and you can get that boost and be like, yes, I'm on a roll. I'm good to go. But if you don't see it again, you get a little disappointed. Our bodies take a little while to change. At first, you're going to see some water weight come off because you're eating a little bit better. You're going to see, you know, your body feeling is going to feel better. But really seeing that big change on the scale is going to happen over time. For most people, other people will see a change in you around like 3 or 4 weeks. They'll be like, oh, you're looking leaner. You're looking better. We don't see changes ourselves for at least 6 to 8 weeks. Don't know why that happens. There's some studies that people have done, but most of the time we're our own worst critics. So what I do with my clients, we take a picture when they start. And then I update at 4 weeks just to get another picture. Now, will there be huge changes? Sometimes there are. Sometimes there are. And sometimes they're minor ones that you, when you look in the mirror, you're not going to see it. But I can see it with my eye because I'm the one being objective. We are our own worst critic. So if weight loss is the main goal, what I prefer to do and what I tell people is weigh yourself every 6 weeks. If you absolutely must do it, weigh yourself once a month. But if you're going to do that, there's a couple of rules. Always weigh yourself pre-eating and post-poop. So like first thing in the morning after you go to the bathroom, don't eat before you do it. Don't like get out of the shower and have a little water hanging on you. Do it completely naked. So with no clothes on, no socks. No, yeah, they only add a few ounces, but you know, I'd rather see a few ounces come off in my skivvies than, you know, anything else. That's just me. Use weight as a long term. So weighing yourself at 4 weeks, you can be like, okay, 4 weeks ago, you know, I was 7 pounds heavier. That's a huge, like in 4 weeks, that's almost 2 pounds a week. That's really good progress. If in 12 weeks, you're down like 16 pounds, even better. But the best way to gauge progress, especially if you're overweight, is to take pictures, but take those pictures 4 weeks apart and have someone else look at them. Don't be the first person to look at your photos. Because I'll admit, I do it. I look at my photos and I'm like, I don't look any better. And then my wife will point something out and I'm like, oh, well, all right then. Thank you. And the other way, the one thing that I really love doing more than the scale is using a tailor's tape. Grab a tailor's tape. They're like $7 on Amazon, if even. You can find them at Walmart for like $2 or $3. I don't know. I'm just saying $2 or $3. I just assume they're like $2 or $3. I got mine on Amazon. And I steal my wife's from her sewing kit occasionally. But you can find them. They're really cheap. And all you have to do is measure around your navel. So like right above your navel, around your hips. So like the widest part of your butt where it's the thickest around that. So guys, it's going to be like right above the peen. Ladies, it's going to be like right there in your pubic bone. So right in the middle, around your chest. And those are really the best places to measure. Now, guys, I know what you're going to do. You're going to measure the arms. Rule for the arms, always measure flexed. Always. Always measure the guns flexed. But use a tailor's tape and use pictures to view weight loss, because there are a ton of things, and I won't go into the science, but there are things like when we lose fat, sometimes our fat cells will retain water as we're losing body weight. Or as we're dieting down, they will do those things. Hormones will do things. Ladies, you know this more than anyone, how your weight can fluctuate depending on what you eat. Did you have a really high carb meal? Because carbs, for every gram of carbohydrates that you take in, your body will retain about 3 grams of water. So that's why you feel sort of bloaty when you have like a really high carb meal. So that will reflect it. A lot of salt, that will reflect it. A ton of factors that go into it. That's why the scale is a dirty, dirty liar. And I don't like dirty, dirty liars at all. So don't use the scale. If weight loss is the goal, focus more on getting the measurements down. And over 6 to 8 week periods, you can see the scale move. Use the scale as a long term. Think of the scale sort of like the mileage when you're driving down the road, like you see the miles until a city. You know you still got a while to go. And you're seeing progress as you see that, okay, well, now I'm 100 miles away from my destination. And then you see another sign. You're like, oh, God, I'm only 94 miles away. You're 6 miles closer. You know, why? And also, why they do that with road signs, like 3 miles apart, makes no sense to me, but whatever. But use it as a long-term, you know, determinant of success. Use the tailor's tape. And use photos to really see the progress that you're making. The scale's a dirty, dirty liar. The end. On to the second question. This question comes in from my boy. Bill has a great question. Earlier in the month of January, I mentioned that my 2017 saying is take a stand. And really throwing out what I think and what I believe. And not just floundering on things. So in it, you know, I mentioned something about, you know, take a stand, take a stand on eating more protein in the morning. If that's your biggest hangup, do that first thing in the morning, like make sure you hit that 30 grams. So he asked me, you know, what is the significance to eating 30 grams of protein as you wake up? Now, in the past, I have done intermittent fasting, and oddly enough, I've never written an article on intermittent fasting or really covered a podcast on it. And I may in the future, but it's not something that I do right now. Yes, it is a good tool. It is a tool for fat loss. It is a tool, not an end-all be-all. So if you wake up in the mornings and you're not someone who likes to eat breakfast, fast for a little while until you're hungry. However, for a lot of people, they have very stressful days. Very, very, very stressful days. And lunch might not happen until later in the day. And by the time it does, your cortisol levels are already so high from work and all the BS you got to deal with employees or whatever else that you are looking for something to give you comfort. So you're going to eat the pizza. You're going to eat the things you don't want to eat. And maybe your breakfast wasn't that great. Maybe you've literally had next to no protein. And come 3, 4 o'clock, you are hungry again. Eating a big portion of protein in the morning does two things. One, it provides satiety. It means that you feel full longer. So you can make it until lunch feeling full. You're not feeling ravenously hungry or like you want to rip someone's head off or going to eat like 2 honey buns because you just want something. that's going to stay on your stomach longer, and it's going to help you get to lunch with less stress. So that if lunch is your biggest stressor, is the one meal you really trip up on, if you've got a good breakfast and you've got a good dinner, if those are the two you're really good at, then having a good breakfast is going to help prevent you from going off the rails at lunch. I have a client who is in grad school, and he was trying to do a little bit of fasting, and he was like, oh, dude, I'm just so hungry. And then by lunch, I'm not getting enough protein. So what we did is we made an adjustment. I said, first thing in the morning, 30 grams of protein. Whether it comes from a shake, now preferably, I would like some hard food sources, because that's going to stay on your stomach longer than a shake, because your body has to break it down, makes your body work, you feel full. Yogurt, eat like two things of yogurt, something. Get 30 grams of protein on your stomach to give your body something to break down and fuel your metabolic system with. And that has helped him. He feels a lot less hungry throughout the day because of adding 30 grams in the morning. Now, it also helps because at lunch, maybe he can back off it a little bit. So he doesn't have to have like 60 grams of protein. He can have a big protein meal at dinner. You know, it makes his day a little bit easier to hit his calories and macros for the day. So that's what I did with a client in that. The other reason that getting protein first thing in the morning is important is because protein gives us a boost in burning fat. 20 to 30% of the protein that we consume, your body has to break down and use as energy to break down other protein. So you lose a little bit of protein, but by losing that little bit of protein, your body is having to use it to fuel its fat burning, to fuel its energy process, to give you the energy that you need to get through that ridiculous 10:30 a.m. meeting that you have every Wednesday. And because of that boost, it's going to help you burn a little bit more fat while you are sitting at your desk and in the middle of that 10:30 a.m. meeting that you hate every Wednesday. I've been there. Stupid meetings. But while you're sitting, your body is going to be burning more calories. That's why having high protein is crucial to getting your day started. It's going to get that metabolic engine burning. It's going to get that fat burning. It's going to give you the energy to get to lunch and help you feel more human. So Bill, I hope that answers your question. I hope you've been crushing the extra protein in the morning as well. I'll give you guys a couple tips in this episode real quick on how to get extra protein. There is an article on the site for it, but one of my favorite ways is egg whites. I add 1/3 cup of egg whites into my oatmeal. No, you never taste it. It just works its way in, but that's 10 grams of protein. So you could add that in with a protein powder. Boom, you've got that with a shake if that's what you want. Or cook it on the side if you want some egg whites. Greek yogurt is also good. The Chobani, like the little servings of Chobani, are like 12 grams. So you're getting 12 there. My breakfast, I have 1 cup of oatmeal. So I'm getting 10 grams there. I'm getting 10 grams from the egg whites. And then my secret sauce, powdered peanut butter. Good. Powdered peanut butter goes in. That's about 7 grams of protein. So I'm getting 27, right around 30 before I start work and head out to the gym. So that's how I get 30, right around 30 in the morning. But there are multiple ways to do it. Cottage cheese is an excellent way to do it. Greek yogurt, regular yogurt as well, but try and find some that are high protein. And if you are a vegetarian, something like lentils in the morning. Eggs are great as well. But I like egg whites because they're basically just pure protein. So that's a great way to get 30 grams of protein in the AM and keep you full until lunch. Now, the last question is the third question of the episode. And this again comes from a boy, Captain America himself, Chris Evans. He sent me a question last week, and I answered him via video, but I want to answer it here too. Because it's a question I get asked a lot, and it's something that I think about quite often. If you guys do follow me on social media and you do, you know, watch, you know, read articles and listen to the podcast, I don't necessarily put up like, look, I'm not one of those Instagram douchebags that shows me flexing and abs and all that shit. Like, look, that's like a dude driving around in a Ferrari. Like, you want to have my life? Yeah. Yeah, well, yeah, I want to have your life, but you're kind of being a prick about it, dude. Like, I know how hard it is, and I know the struggles that everyone has when it comes to weight loss, so I don't, like, yes, I will put pictures up of me working out, and I will put up a flex picture every once in a while, but I'm not going to do it every day. But he asked about using images for inspiration, and a lot of people, there's a lot of talk in the body positive movement today. That's a big thing in the social sphere, and not comparing yourself to others. And I do agree with that in some parts, but I also disagree with that in others. Chris's question was, you know, do you think it's cool if I'm not looking at something like looking like a fitness model on a magazine, but something relative to the goals that I want to get to? And yes, I think using that is wonderful. I don't think it's a problem. I think when it becomes a problem is when we look at things like some dude jacked out of his mind on a fitness magazine and we think that, oh, that's how we're supposed to look. Look, I will be completely honest with you guys, and this is what I believe in. I do believe that attempting at some point, and this could take you 3 or 4 years if you're truly overweight, but trying to get down to a very lean body will teach you a lot of things about life. It will teach you the power of problem solving, especially when you're trying to like hit your calories, hit your macros to stay dedicated. That is like getting lean is really a big test of dedication. It will also teach you the power of making sacrifices and that, you know, when I dieted, I didn't really miss that ice cream that much, or I didn't really miss going out and drinking every night. Like, oh my God, you can go out and have fun without getting drunk. Yeah, it's possible. There's a ton of things it can teach you. Now, do I think that it's something that you should stress over and try to get to in 6 months? No. No. Because one truth about this is however long you think it's going to take you to get to where you want to be, double it. Because that's how long it's probably going to take. When I really started getting serious about this in like 2012, it honestly was not until the year that I got married in 2014 that I finally achieved the level of lean that I wanted to be at. 2 years. But I still saw great progress in those 2 years. I was still happy with where I was most days, but I knew I could get better and I wanted to push myself to those limits. And I think using images as inspiration is great, but realize that that person who's in that image has been working hard for a really long time. Now you may see, and it does happen, you will see articles and you will see people like, that they made a huge transformation in 6 or 8 months. It is possible. I'm not saying that it's not. But for a lot of people, the dedication that that person put into like getting there, they're not ready to do. They're not willing to do. So maybe yours needs to be a longer road. And it can happen. So don't give up. And it's totally cool. Look, it's totally cool to use pictures as inspiration. Yeah, I still look at Chris Evans' body as Captain America, and I'm like, well, I want to look like Cap. I do. Nothing wrong with that. And what guy, whoever went into a gym, didn't think, I want to look like Arnold. I mean, I was 15 feet away from Arnold in Venice, California, and his biceps were glorious. The dude is like 60-some years old, and they're still glorious. Like, everyone who ever lifts weights is always going to want to look like Arnold. Will they look like Arnold? Probably not, because they're not Arnold. But I'm also not Lou Ferrigno, and you're also not me. And we need to get to where we're happy with our bodies and get to a point where, you know, we feel comfortable in our own skin. And if that means that maybe you look at a guy who he's muscular and he's about 40 pounds lighter than you, but that guy's still doing work, look up to him. Use him as inspiration. Look at what he's done. Practice where he has been. What he did to get to where you want to be, that's what you got to implement. And once you get there, then you can decide, you know what? I'm cool with where I am. Or you know what? I want to do what Robbie said. I really want to push myself and see how far I can go. And if that far is 15% body fat, cool. If that far is 10% body fat, awesome. if that far is to basically look like a bodybuilder covered in dick skin, do your thing. Like, do what you got to do. I will just tell you, I want to do bodybuilding. I don't want to do it. No. Like, I found my limit. I don't want to go that far. But yes, so Chris, in this very long answer, I think it is totally okay to use pictures as inspiration. And like you said, something realistic. Find something realistic, someone you look up to, and work towards that. That person may be working towards their own. And maybe when they get there, you'll want to continue to look like them. But I do think that in this world, you know, there is a lot in the world of social media and the internet about, you know, being positive and enjoying your body and loving your body for what it is. But you can always improve that if that's what you want to do. But improve it realistically. Don't think that you're going to, in 6 months, look like Arnold. It's probably not going to happen. You can put in the dedication and you can get closer. But just keep your goals realistic. Guys, that is the end of the episode. I do have one caveat because my client, Laura, will yell at me if I don't mention it. In last month's episode, when I talked about body fat percentages and when you should bulk or cut, she pointed out that I should remind the ladies, and ladies, this is for you if you're listening, that women tend to carry more body fat than men. So 15% for women would basically be shredded, like six packs and shredded. So ladies, your body fat's going to be a little higher. And if you look online, you'll see women who are like 20 to like 25. And like, those are Hollywood actresses that maybe you might know. And other women that you might consider normal or a body that you really want might be about 27 to like 30. So you're going to have a little bit more, and that's okay. That's just the way our bodies are made. It's just the difference between the sexes. But that 15% was for men. For ladies, I would probably say like most of you probably don't want to get below 20%. Once you get really low in body fat percentage, your hormones and your periods start doing funky things. So it's not something I would really suggest doing, but you can still build muscle. But your range is going to be a little higher than men. So just wanted to get that caveat in there before, my client Laura emails me and goes, "Hey, I mentioned this thing and you didn't mention it." So, there it is mentioned, guys. I love answering your questions, and please, I don't care what they are. It doesn't have to be fitness related. I really would love to do a whole community questions episode on like Robbie rants on video games or comic books or questions about whatever. So send them to me, sidequestfitness@gmail.com or tweet @sidequestfm and let me know your questions and I'll answer them in the March episode of Community Questions. Until then, keep kicking ass at life. Step up and you gotta get it fitness. Host Rob at the moment and the quest is, you gotta check it and wreck it. You're breaking personal records, and with the help of the guests, you won't be guessing on the lessons. That's a +5 fierce. Got a low-key Banff right here. You wanna meet him, there's no better way to greet him than to strike a boss pose. Take a look into the mirror.